How many knows since you settled in here and I've had time to do back teaching that the first two nations he gave me outside of our own, Brazil and Japan. Boy, if I ever could hold back weeping all of my life, it would have broke out there to see what he did, what he was doing. Do you know how many gods those peoples had through history? You should have seen some of them when he started to move. Lift your hands up with me, Father, right now. Right now, we're praying. And in our hearts, we're taking a stand and believing and thanking you with all our heart for how you're able to break into a nation like this. And we get to be part of it. With all our heart, we thank you. Put our feet solidly on the ground. And Jesus, we know it's not too long before you're coming back. That's why when you come back, we're going to get to greet you with this, the greatest gift of all, the born again spirit of many, 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 many peoples. Because we found out to do what you taught us. So, for the longest time I knew Japan was coming in. That I thought I was getting behind or late or something on it. But it's really not a real big place, so... So I can say too, I'm sure glad Alan was with me. Now, none of you have heard this.
You must be born again.
Oh, a lifetime bunch of people who go to church don't know that. How about this one? I taught on this several years ago, but you got loved ones that aren't saved. You know, so if you had an aerial view of what God could see, he's in that, here's everybody milling, here's God milling, it's all of a sudden you stop, and someone you really love, you turn them over to God completely to be saved. And if you had an aerial view, all of a sudden, that whole crowd would stop. And then it'd have a little teeny shift of direction. Why? Because he put them on a collision course with being born again.
Hallelujah.
Come on. You think he can't send somebody to somebody's house? You know... When I got to Bakersfield, I called another uncle to find out if another uncle was in the area somewhere. I heard he was. He was my Uncle Leon. And sure enough, the church I was preaching in was in the same parking lot when he told me his address and stuff. And I found it. I could walk there from the front door of the church I was preaching at and down a little bitty alley. I could see it from there. How could that happen? I could see where he was living from the church I was preaching in Bakersfield. What's the odds? When I was a little kid, he'd give me airplane flights. I go, and see, Leon, I put on my list when I found out you could have one. So there I go preach, and I had heard a rumor he's in that. Sure enough, it's within sight. Man, I go over there. My nickname's Bud. That's what he knew me as. Went over there. Walked down that dirt alley, apartment thing there, door there, knock, 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 door opens. Yes? I said, hi, Leon. He says, you hadn't seen me since. I said, hi, Leon. He goes, who are you? I said, you called me Bud growing up. You'd come and visit and you'd throw me up in the air and stuff. You're that Bud? Yeah. Bertha's your sister. He said, oh, well, what are you doing here? That church there. I'm preaching a message. I'm Jesus Christ. I'm a preacher. Leon, will you come to the service? Sure enough, he comes into the service and everything I could ever hope for. When I had the altar call, I closed my eyes and opened them. He was up there. When you lay somebody's name, when you give them to him, you know what you do? So you give him authority to step into their life. Boy, when I found that out, I started it on all my relatives. I wasn't preaching very long, but I was catching on. So, it's a holiday, isn't it? Isn't this a holiday of some kind coming up or something? Well, what would it be? Christmas. What?
Christmas.
Oh! Why don't you give yourself a Christmas present? And the next closest relative or person that you love that's not saved? Why don't we think of one of them and then turn them over to God to be saved? And then he'll put the hounds of heaven on them and track them down. If one can't do it, another one will come. But he's the one that loves us. He wants something to get into their life more than we do. But when you open a big old fat door, he jumps in it. You don't think he won't go after them? This is what it would look like. The earth's milling. You name them. All of a sudden it all stops. He locates that one and goes after him. He's the one that died for him. Why wouldn't he? You give him something to work with. Why wouldn't he? Alan, why are you making me preach this? We had something else. Yes, sir. For some reason, the vine is ripe. You can take this yourself and use it. But right now, just so you can watch him track somebody down, why don't you choose a close loved one? And why don't we turn them over to God? And he'll get the resources of heaven and go after them. Amen. Why don't we do that? You got anybody you love that wants to be saved? Well, that you want them to be saved.
Right.
Thank you, thank you. thank you very much. Seriously. So go on. And how many remembers we had some lines like this in the past? No, I don't see too many left. Some. Right here, yeah. So think a minute. See, we're near the year's end. And do you remember when you did it? Now. It would be nice if you wrote our ministry when it happens. Round up a box. Something that we can put names in. If there's requests in this. Well, I ask God why these things like this sometimes. Because it's direct. It's something that I am able to be committed to and has a past and a future. It's not just something hoped. It's spoken. If you saw the whole earth at once, all of a sudden everything would stop and he'd find your person. Cleave on to them and begin. And then they'd get back into the crowd again. But knowing that I can give him somebody's name and what he will do. I mean, you won't be stupid and, you know, jump up and say, oh yeah, here's another one. Join in with him and both of you agree on them. If you get a cardboard box, this person... I'd like to put them in it. I mean their name, not them, because you'd have to go get them then. I seen somebody walk a little, and then when I talked, they ran, so I think they went for the box. Kilo morekesi. Kilo malabre. Yes, sir. What you like it on the second step or the first one? Is it too far to bend down on the... That's perfect? Give that woman a point. All right. You bring it up, and when you get back down, and we have this box there, and we're going to lay hold on every person you put in there, and we will not turn loose. Equal abilities. See, these names, they will not be turned loose of. They're not a passing thought. People are the most valuable thing on this planet. We're going to get a new planet. Go ahead, a new heaven and a new earth. Father, I glorify you and thank you. Because I know that this gives you a direct path to somebody they love. If you could see the whole earth for a minute, you'd see probably about 100 people all over suddenly change their direction.
For what?
Probably to run into your person that needs to be born again. All he needs Remember when he, after Eve ate, he took her, and he needed to pray that God needed to do something for her, but heal her probably, but he couldn't. Then all of a sudden, he looks 4,000 years into the future, God does. And he says, oh, born a woman, it'll be a seed. It'll bruise your head, saying. So he just took Eve's healing and charged it to the cross to be paid in full at his resurrection. Answered prayer is a really serious thing. If he got what he had to do it with, he's not a renegade. If he got what he needs to do it with, it's a done deal. Yeah. I want you all to stand. Preachers, come up. Preachers, you can put your hands up. If it gets too far back, you can put them on them. You thought it. Yes, sir. In training to be preachers, that you're going to do, that's your full career. Well, service. Well, smart thing. Come on. We mean this. When we get to heaven, to be there. And the good thing is they'll take people with them. I think some of these will wake up with a big angel leaning over them going, get saved. I said, get saved. I'd say, how fast? Father, we love you. We respect so much the authority that you have and walk in after you're a God. But yet to protect our rights for freedom, there's certain things you can't do. You just can't go haywire and around taking this stuff and doing it. You're the most just being to ever create eternity. You love these people so much, and you paid the painful price of a death and lower earth and all those things. You did all of that for every spiritually dead person on the planet. We could have a way out. And now we've taken this a step further. These people are going to be tracked out. So, Father, with all our heart, we thank you for your big heart for the lost. And that you've got your ways. There's people you can send, I mean, that they can run into. And you can do that. All you need is something to do it with. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, who has paid this price for us all, in the name of Jesus, I thank you. I thank you for tracking these people down and keep presenting the truth till they get born again. In Jesus' name, and for this, we'll give you the glory. I mean, we'll give you all the praise and the honor and the glory for salvaging a loved one of ours. When that rejoice came forward in the first utterance, I got about this high up off the step, you know. There's some authority there. Hallelujah, Jesus. If I was a devil, I'd be 2 miles away by now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Tell me, how many's been going here 10 years? Really? Oh. Do I know you?
No.
Like the back of my hand. Hey. One thing this church doesn't do too much, but once in a while we get loose in another. It's releasing some of the stuff you've been getting a lot of times, and joy, and say, don't you know the devil hates it when he causes you to go broke and you get happier? He said, what are you getting happy about? Because, oh, I get to see him work you over again. You stupid heaven-leaving creature. What was into you, huh? How dumb can you be? You mean you're dumb enough to think that you could overthrow him?
I'll exalt my throne above the stars of God and be like the Most High.
Yeah, you're high on drugs. Now, you're saying, I can see the wisdom of people sometimes when they're around 100. Well, anyway.
God said not to partake in foolish jesting.
Foolish jesting doesn't make a point. It doesn't exalt the word. It doesn't exalt God. You use laughter correctly, it can be a great tool. So when they said that, they didn't say that you couldn't laugh and get happy and funny and say funny things. Foolish jesting takes away from the gospel. Wise jesting can use it to make points that can be seen through humor. You know, like when that car went by and mud splashed in your face and a half a cuss word escaped. And then you celebrated because the whole word didn't get out. Yeah. Let's hear about something, you know, a little less, funny. And how about a little less noticed in God's presence, like raising the dead? It's actually easy for me to go to a funeral and raise somebody from the dead than it is dead church people.
You go pray. I've had enough of that.
I hope I see you in heaven.
I hope you do too, because if you don't, it'll be you're the one that's not there.
Don't. Well, we went to a place. What, the sound waves was affected by something? I've never heard of a revival or anything that reached out or did anything per se from Japan. Have you? God gave me two nations. Long time ago, Brazil and Japan. When we got there, we knew something what it would be like. I've been there 3 times now. And this one was the most, I would say, word fulfilling and powerful. And the results. I got to get Alan up here. We came up and we stood there outside of the window where the meeting was being held. And we watched them come in, and we watched the people in the meeting and how they were acting and things like that. And then finally we got up and went on the inside and got a chair and watched. And boy, it sure didn't end up like it started. Anyway, Alan, he played. I'd hate to go there without him. He can whip 3 people at once. And so, what would have been your favorite part?
I don't know if I have a favorite part. It was all good. It was probably the hardest trip we've been on, I think. So we appreciate your prayers. You know, when Pastor Dave goes to Brazil and Japan and different places, it's not him going by himself. It's all of us as a church and praying and believing and supporting and everything you do. And it's probably the hardest trip and probably the most successful trip we had. They say, the Japanese say of themselves, I don't know if I can say exact right, but their roof is made of iron and their floor is made of copper. You know, talking about themselves, how in their culture they're made hard to get into as a person. And so we're not expecting big crowds or big results as far as a great big sweep and move across Japan at first. Not that that's not possible, but... knowing our mission is to spark something and to spark a hope that there's something beyond just knowledge and self-ability, and there's a supernatural out there, and to spark that hope in them. And so the trip was the most difficult, I think, that I've been on with Pastor Dave as far as the warfare and the attack that's there. And, they say some places, I hear people say sometimes they fly into a city and they can feel the oppression, and I don't really go by that, but this time you could feel the oppression. And just personally, just the warfare that came and all the struggles from here to there. The first couple services, like I said, the crowds aren't super huge. I think maybe 30 or 40 people. And it wasn't at a church. It was our own meeting. The group from Brazil had come over with us and met us in Dallas and flew with us over there. They had praise and worship and interpreter for both Portuguese and the Japanese. And so you can feel the first couple services are really hard. I could tell. Pastor Dave just kind of flows in and doesn't really notice much. He just does, you know, what he does. And it was really strong. The first service, a boy was there with crutches, and I knew he was in trouble because, you know, he didn't even come up for prayer. But Pastor Dave went and grabbed him and got on his knees and said, "Well, what's wrong?" And this boy spoke Japanese and said, "Well, he in a motorcycle accident, a car hit him and crushed his foot." And it was beyond a cast now. It wasn't in a cast because the cast couldn't fix it. It was just a brace, like a solid brace that he stepped in and wrapped it around in crutches. That was kind of what he was stuck with. And I mean, this boy, I don't know if he'd ever really been in church or definitely had not been in any kind of move of God. And again, the oppression was so hard, so difficult. I could feel just sitting there. You know, sometimes when you're going through things, you just sit there. You don't respond or, well, this is the whole place. No one's responding. It's nice, you know, no expression. And it was more than just the culture. This was an oppression that was there. And Pastor Dave grabbed his foot, and the boy just looked at him, and he said, "I want to pray." Okay. he didn't know what was going on. And Pastor Dave made him stand up. And so he stood up, and when Pastor Dave prayed, he said, "Now, maybe take that brace off." And I said, "Okay." He took his brace off and stood there, and was just in shock. His foot was perfect. No pain or anything. And, that was the first service where it didn't feel like, I mean, anything was happening. If you used your tuner to try to feel how God was moving, you say, "Oh, he's not even here," you know. But he got this that little miracle. And even then, the people didn't jump up and down and run around. They just said, "Oh, that's nice," you know. It's like, what's wrong with you people? And the second service was similar, a lot of healings, but still real hard, just real hard. And then the third service, we had four services. The third service would have been, Friday night, Saturday morning. Saturday night was the third service, and it started off the same thing for about 2 hours, hour and a half, 2 hours, really hard. But people were getting healed and touched. You know, the crowd was about 40 maybe. And then Pastor Dave just sat there. And we sat there for an hour. He just sat down on the stage. It was, you know, just in the room, and it was a sweet presence. But something broke in that hour, and you could feel it. You can feel just the lifting of that oppression. You could feel just a freedom come in. And the next night, Sunday night, that boy went to his home, to his church. Sunday morning, Saturday afternoon, he bought new shoes. Went to his church Sunday morning, and his pastor and a whole group of people from his church came to the church Sunday night. And the freedom was there. It was wonderful. This half the people were healed that night. We had devils cast out. And I think I had a total of about 25 people baptized in the Holy Ghost. And, you know, hallelujah. Yeah. And so I think that was the first meeting in Japan. We've been there this is our third year, and I have to say, I've always known going there was going to be plowing, you know, and maybe making a way for other people, not just us, but plowing, because they have churches there, but they're small, and they have churches there, but they're dry, and I'm sure everyone does their best, but you can't convince someone by teaching or by preaching. There has to be not just the miracles, but the presence of God has to be broke through there too, you know. And so it's not a one-man show. It's taken all of us. All your prayers, all your support, all your believing with Pastor Dave as he goes. But it was really wonderful. The last night was just, I can see for the first time out of our three years that, okay, this is getting somewhere, you know. Not that I didn't believe it before, but I could see it this time. And a lot of healings, a lot of people healed. And there's a lot of Brazilians there, so a lot of the crowd is Brazilian, speak Portuguese. And I think after World War II, a lot of Japanese moved to Brazil and started living there, and so a lot of Brazilians moved there to work. But the culture is still the same in Japanese, in Japan there. So, but it was a really successful trip, I think, for our trip. And thank you for your prayers, though. It was very difficult in a lot of ways. Thank you for all your prayer and support for Pastor Dave and for me as well. And we're excited about what's going to happen next.
Hallelujah. Yeah. But now, when the line got filled, go on. Right. We had a line for to be filled with the Holy Spirit, like 15 maybe?
Yeah, the first one was about 9 people, I think, the first night.
Then.
And then the last night was about 15 people.
And it was really interesting because one lady at the end was demon-possessed. And she was growling and screaming and everything while the rest were trying to get filled.
Yeah. So she came out to get baptized in the Holy Ghost and so caused a conflict in herself.
You know? I stepped back and said to her, "Shut up, devil. Just shut up." She went backwards after about, I don't know, 30 seconds. He was flopping her like that, and he threw her back on her back, about a foot back, 2 feet back, and she was laying there, and he wasn't screaming anymore, so I know that she was going through a deliverance. We'll find that out. But this is Japan, people. You know, their gods, their independence, they've always been a country of war. When that guy with the sponge foot, first thing he did when he jerked it off, he ran and bought a pair of tennis shoes, and that's when he run down. And they run to his pastor. When he saw what God did, then he did. He grabbed his whole church up, and he came over.
Hallelujah.
Now they'll write. We'll be able to teach. They've got tapes, whatever. So it's the beginning. Some of you really want to preach and get your faith tested and find out how to teach in corners and bad places. When somebody's hitting you with a hammer, you just keep teaching, you know. Maybe you should go there sometime and preach. They was glad. I'm thinking we're going to be hearing from them pretty soon. And if I didn't have a foot, I'd be glad. If I had a devil was delivered, I'd be glad. If I got healed of any of the maybe 20 people that got healings where the pain left right there, I'd be glad. We broke into a country that you hear very little about with the gospel. Very little. A lot about Buddha. Very little. Hallelujah, Jesus. So, if you took part of that, you have a blessing on your account that you could have gotten no other way. I mean, of all our evangelists in the world, why hasn't one of them got it? No, I'll tell you this about it, though. That's how much resistance they have. If you didn't have a real love of God, operation in the Spirit over devils and for miracle and pain, and those, they would have killed your spirit. You probably wouldn't have been able to do nothing. If unbelief bothers you in another person, you might as well leave. I mean, you know, like you're the preacher and they're all sticking their tongue out at you and calling you names. That shouldn't hurt your faith. You're the one in authority. Some whining devil that'll be in hell for eternity. Don't let him bother you. And we're not going to let him take those people with him either. Anybody here that you happen to not speak with tongues, that's, you know, the language of the powerful creature. Not exactly a creature, unless you want to go back and really break it down. But anyway, the most powerful being in the universe, directly connected with us in work, the Holy Spirit.
Well, I can't speak with tongues.
Oh my gosh, you know how many prayers you're leaving out that could have been answered? Oh my gosh. You're here, and can you imagine God creating a tremendous language for you called tongues? Then praise it. You'll get his morning one. And then praise his will out in that situation, like you're going to pray for somebody sick or something. Can you imagine him praying it out and then you don't understand what he's praying so you won't mess it up? I mean, who would pray a prayer like that and then answer it for you? What kind of God do we have?
Well, I can't speak with tongues.
Well, you can fix that in 10 seconds. It's up, and we're going to have to go for 30. If you want to be filled with the Spirit, being filled with the Spirit, the biggest ministry he has is praying the prayers from the Godhead and then being privileged to be in and on the answers of what's best for you. And sometimes I'm glad he's praying it in tongues and I don't know what I prayed. Because I'd have probably says, I don't think I'm quite ready.
You will be when I get done with you.
No, he don't sound like that, does he?
This is God.
Ten Commandments. Anyway, you're here. Except a few of you. You're here. Don't mind me. I'm just happy about breaking through. But if you haven't been baptized in that Holy Spirit with the tongues and speaking in tongues, he wants to give you that language before you get out of here. You can't work for it. It's a gift. And that he looks ahead in your life and he knows. And to have him even go ahead knowing the future and do some of your praying for you. How easy do you want it? How much do you want to fail or succeed? Come on.
I can't speak with tongues.
Get on the green line. Put your toes on the line.
I sound like him most of the time. Really, come and get filled. What if I did? I know what it now. If I'd say, raise your hand if you're not filled, you'd go, oh, I'm filled. I just don't speak with those tongues. Imagine God being the root of the prayer that goes out for you. Will it be answered? I got D's in English through high school, through the Navy. Couldn't give an oral report, now I can't shut up. Does it work? I guess. Come on. Come on. Okay, there's somebody here. He doesn't hold me this long. If you're here, come up. I mean, come up. I just said they're here, and then I said, if you're here, come up.
What's happened to you?
I'm happy breaking into a new country. You'll have to go. You'll come back. You'll be glad that you're here and you know about bread and tongues. that there's more ahead. This is our city. You can't speak with tongues. Come on. Come. All right. I'm kind of wore out. Not bad. I'm too young for that. But I did get a little tired, and I also had to fight something off. And so, and a bit on a long journey, a little sleep. So, if you're in pain or you really need prayer, you know what? Come up.